If you're a smoker or vapor ready to make a change, you really only need one good reason. But with Zyn nicotine pouches, you'll discover many good reasons. Reasons like Zyn nicotine pouches are still America's number one choice for smoke-free, hands-free nicotine satisfaction. Or because you can choose between 10 varieties, each available in either 3 or 6 milligrams of nicotine satisfaction. Or even because Zyn offers a robust rewards program full of premium items and experiences. How's that for good reasons? Now, if you're still unsure whether Zyn is the right change for you, there's only one way to find out. Check out Zyn.com/find to find Zyn at a store near you. You have a lot of options when it comes to nicotine satisfaction, but there's only one Zyn. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Tim Dillon Show. Congratulations, President Trump. I guess let me be the first to say that, because it does seem somewhat inevitable. Perhaps we save money on the election. No. I don't know. Of course not. There's a long way to go. There's a long way to go, as Joe Biden has reminded us. There's a long way to go. It doesn't feel that long, especially when you consider how quickly the summer goes. It's going to be over tomorrow. You will be at a Halloween party tomorrow. Because this is the best time of the year. The best time of the year is the time of the year that is the most ephemeral, meaning fleeting. The times you hate, like if this was going on in January, from January to May is an eternity. It's an absolute eternity. From here to the fall is very quick. It's very, very quick. And the president seems to be, they've now frozen $90 million. These big donors have frozen $90 million so that he is not going to be able to use it, because many of the big money players are getting nervous. We talked about this last week. Got all these people in the Hamptons at a fundraiser. Jill goes up and talks about nothing. This is a few days after the debate. Biden comes on, talks for 7 minutes. He's there to reassure everybody that he's good. Hey, I'm good. It was a bad night. It was a cold. Hey, I'm fine. That was, you know, he talked for 7 minutes at that fundraiser and left. And I knew a few people that were in that yard, and they were like, that was not comforting. No one felt comforted. I do like the things he's doing where he whispers very forcefully, and he like gets, and he's like, and you know what's going to happen? Nothing. I like that. There's something about an elderly person who's determined. My grandmother was kind of like this at the end. They would go to the hospital, and she would sit there and drink her scotch, sit in the chair, and she goes, go away. There's something about an old person at the end, hanging on to life bitterly. I like it. Like it makes me feel alive. I like seeing, and some people would call it elder abuse, and that's fine. But I personally kind of enjoy seeing this man well past his prime demand that people recognize that he is on earth and that he is alive. It's very similar. There was a show called Dance Moms. Okay? This is American politics. Get it up. Show them Dance Moms. Show them Abby Lee Miller. The great Abby Lee Miller, who's out of jail now and cancer-free. She's cancer-free. Show them Abby Lee. Get Abby Lee Miller. That's Abby Lee Miller. This show, Abby Lee Miller, the show Dance Moms, was this fat lady who would scream at children, 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds, and they would have breakdowns. They would cry. Look at her. Can we play any of this, or would it be, it's a problem, right?
They come right
to the studio, kill us? Okay. Well, we can't play this. Abby Lee Miller would get all of these girls, these young children, and demand that they do these dance routines and not make one mistake. And if they made one mistake, they knew You would see their faces. They knew it was over. She would bring them back. And I like the show because I like to see greatness demanded of children. I think it's good. There's something about demanding greatness of the young and the old that I kind of like. So Abby Lee Miller of Fatibunbati would bring these girls back and scream at them and then scream at their mother. She'd go, "You made a mistake in the group routine. Look at me, Mackenzie. Look at me right now. Get off your mother's lap. Stand there and look at me. Mackenzie, it is not looking good for you." And then these kids would cry. They would cry because they're... Now, obviously, dance is competitive and whatnot. I'm not talking about the morality of this. It seemed rather amoral. Like, it wasn't, you know, good. But these kids now are kind of rich and fine, most of them, right? One of them might be dead. I don't know. JoJo Siwa might have been one of them, but I don't know. She's the lunatic who... I'm getting really in the weeds. That's not where we want to be. We're circling it back. My point is that you see, was JoJo Siwa on Dance Moms?
Yeah, yes. That was a good poll.
So she was on Dance Moms. So, okay, so it's not all good, right? Some of them went really left, and it's not great. JoJo Siwa was that girl. She dresses up like Satan. She dresses up like Kiss, the rock band Kiss. And she's like, hello. She's a terrifying lesbian. Look at this. So that's what happened to some of them on Dance Moms. But then some of them are fine. My point is this. She would scream and yell at these girls, and they were so terrifying, and they would have to go out and do this dance routine, and they could not make one mistake, one deviation. They could not, if they were supposed to go to the left, and they went, even just like hesitated and maybe thought, maybe should I go to the right? She would just break them down. You see that girl crying right there? JoJo Siwa, she would just break these girls down. That was watching that Biden press conference. Here's a guy who is way beyond the age that this type of pressure should be put on him. Way beyond the age that he should have any. He should just be sitting like where I'm at, out east on Long Island right now. People have these lazy lives. They wake up, they swim in their pool. They go to the farm stand. They get a tomato. They slice a tomato. They eat it to put a little salt on it. They eat a tomato. They sit in their yard. They read half of a chapter of a book. They go to bed at 9. That's literally what his life should be. Instead, he's at the fucking G7, G8, G7? Where is he? He's at the NATO summit. And this is the most high stakes thing that anyone would ever have to do, let alone a guy at his age. And it is kind of the show Dance Moms, where like you have... he's got the same face that those kids had before they did the routine. They're like, fucking Christ, I can't let this fat bitch down. If I let this fat bitch down, my life is over. They kicked me off the competition team. And if I'm off the competition team, I'm not competing. And if I'm not competing, what do I have left to do except get pregnant and take pills? And that's really, Biden's like, if I stop competing, I'm dead. If I'm out of the White House, I just disintegrate and die. Every article is about, like, what a schmuck I am, how fucking I gave the country back to Trump, and he's miserable. I feel for the guy a little bit. Not a lot, but a little. But I like seeing there's something about, and that's why the show Dance Moms was fun, because you watch the kids, and you're like, don't fuck up. Don't fuck up. You know what happens if you... Mackenzie? You know what happens if you fuck up. Mackenzie fucked up a lot. I don't know why. She was just not... this routine is not dialed in, you're all gonna get the wrath of Abby Lee Miller. So Joey B, let's play some highlights from this very high-stakes press conference that the president... Because some of my favorites are... The forceful whisper where he goes, and he gets right up in the mic and he goes, and you know what? I'll only leave if God Almighty comes down and tells me, and you know what? He ain't coming. Let's see some of the highlights. He introduced Zelensky as Putin. He introduced Kamala Harris. He talked about her. And he said President Trump. He said Vice President Trump. He misspeaks quite often, which, again, independent of everything else, would you just be like a flub. Be like, oh, this guy's a flub. He flubs. But then you have the staring off into space, the weak voice, not quite knowing where he is, losing his place. You know, so let's see some of the highlights. This is some of the highlights from the current president, leader of the free world, Joe Biden.
And now I want to hand it over to the president of Ukraine, who has as much courage as he has determination. Ladies and gentlemen, President Putin. President Putin. Right. You're going to beat President Putin. President Zelensky. I'm so focused on beating Putin, we got to worry about it. Anyway, Mr. President.
I'm better.
You are a hell of a lot
better. I'm better. Can you believe, by the way, think about being Zelensky right now. Zelensky's whole country has been torn apart because he's been given these assurances that the United States is going to stand by him no matter what, okay? Can you imagine that? Zelensky, look at his face. He knows. That face that Zelensky is making is perfect because he knows. He's put all his faith in this administration, and he's being introduced as President Putin. He knows. He goes, this is over. He goes, this is bad. And the Ukraine it's been, you know, this has been a war that's been raging for years. And then this poor guy is standing on the fucking, like, this is Zelensky's face is the face of every mortgage broker in 2007. Like, no matter, they know it's over. They know it's about to end. And who's ever on stage, whatever CEO of any company, when I was working in that time, they would have all these, you know, meetings. They'd get up at like the Huntington Hilton and they would do a meeting and they'd go, the fundamentals of the company are strong. We believe the market. And then months later, it was like, everybody get out. You're all fired. We have no money. And that's coming. And he knows that what's coming is not good because the man he is relying on and the administration he's relying on for money is introducing him as President Putin at the NATO summit. And then he goes, I'm better. It's like he's trying to do like a fun comedic thing because he was a comedian. I mean, so like, by the way, this is the sloppiest CIA thing ever. Mm-hmm. He was a comedian on a show where he played the president. People don't even know this. I bring this up. People look at me and they're like, what? They don't even know. Zelensky was the president on a show, like a comedy show, in the Ukraine. And the darlings, yeah, it was called Servant of the People. After a Ukrainian high school teacher's tirade against government corruption goes viral on social media, he finds himself the country's new president. The satirical comedy stars Volodymyr Zelensky before he took office as the president of the Ukraine. So can you imagine, like, say what you want about Russia, say what you want about Putin, say what you want about it. I don't want to live there. I like where I live. But imagine being the president of Russia and looking at the and going, okay, the CIA is not going to do this. You're not going to pick a comedian and install them as the president of the Ukraine. This is like the sloppiest, most low effort thing anyone's ever seen. These darlings in Langley, Virginia were like, you know what? Let's just, the country knows who he is already. They're comfortable with him as the president. Let's just put it, you know? Can you imagine like Putin sitting, I don't know where he is. He's in Sochi or I don't know where his palace is or whatever. He's sitting there. Maybe he's in the Kremlin. Maybe he's, and they come up to him. They go, hey, so listen, the FSB is reporting that they're going to try to get, they're pushing Zelensky, Volodymyr Zelensky. And then Putin goes, wait a minute. I must have misheard you. You mean the actor on the show? Putin probably didn't even watch. They're like, this guy is an actor on the show. He plays the president. And somehow now he's going to be the president of the Ukraine. And Putin's just like staring, going, this is not happening. We're not going to do this. We're not going to do this. And by the way, everybody who is, you know, because it's the summer. You see more people. You talk to more people. You hear more people. What a blessing. And I just had my family over. They, of course, weren't talking about the Ukraine. They were too busy eating pretzel bites. But people I've been speaking to are all like, you know, it's all you know, about NATO and Russia and NATO. We got to stay in. Well, NATO is what keeps everybody safe. When you go to bed at night, you're safe because of NATO. You know that woman who just got decapitated in Venice, California, and raped to death? Where was NATO? Like, it's the people who don't care at all about the safety of the actual places you live are telling you that the safety of the world depends on America continuing to police the world, because Russia is just apparently just wreaking havoc all over Europe, which, of course, again, there's no facts there. What is seemingly destabilizing the political situation in Europe is migration. Every European election is about the migrant crisis, every single one. All the gains made by right-wing populists in Europe are based on the migrant crisis, immigration. It's not about Russia. It's not about Vladimir Putin going through Europe. He doesn't have forces amassed on the borders of all these European countries. The political situation in those countries is deteriorating, you know, based on people's response to the mass migration of people from one part of the world to another. You may agree with it. You may think it's good. You might love it. You might hate it. You might think it's bad. But it's, you can't argue that it is the singular issue that has destabilized Europe more than anything else, certainly more than Russia. But I'm just looking at this guy Zelensky's face. When Biden goes, welcome, President Putin, because he understands now that, like, this was a weapons sale, the Ukraine war, for us. For them, it's a war for their independence, and, you know, God bless. I mean, again, I'm not, like, I feel terrible that anyone's dying in any war. I don't want them to die. But for our government, the sweetheart, in our government, honey pie, hey honey pie, all the sweeties and honey pie, because it's summer, I'm trying to be sweet, all the sugar, honey, iced tea, you know, like, it, for them, it's just a weapons sale. And what NATO is primarily for them is a weapons sales catalog. It's a catalog. It's like Land's End. You've got a Land's End catalog in your house, you open it up, you're like, that raincoat's nice. Land's End is a catalog for white people. It comes to their house, they open it up, and they see white people doing white things, walking labs, sailing, being by their lake house, walking on the beach. Get a Land's End card. Get Land's End and hit image. So Land's End is just white people being white, and there's catalogs that go to the house. There it is. And then they have a very white black girl as well. That's lovely. But it's a catalog where they want white people to just buy. You know, it'll be like, right, there you go. Well, the Land's End, right, fishing and all this stuff. NATO is a weapons catalog. It is a catalog that comes to every country in NATO once a month, and they go, which one do you want? What would you like? What missile are you in for this month? You got to get something. It's a catalog. It just comes in. Did NATO come? Yeah, we got it. I like this. And what NATO is, because NATO is just a defense alliance, an alliance, and it was very understandable after World War II, and there's parts of it that probably make a lot of sense today. I think expanding it all over the world and pushing it in Russia and China's face, not so good. But NATO itself, what it is functionally, it's when you join NATO, you buy your weapons from NATO approved weapons manufacturers. It's Land's End. Come and get a collared shirt. Don't you want a collared shirt? Get some khakis. What are those shorts they all wear? The Nantucket Reds and all that crap. It's Land's End. So NATO is a weapons manufacturing alliance where people go buy the weapons from our people and then point them in the direction of the country that you anticipate you're going to go to war with next. This is the whole Ukraine war. It's what the whole thing's about. They all thought that Ukraine would join NATO and get a bunch of missiles and then point them at Moscow, and Vladimir Putin would be like, this fucking comedian, I love him. I love him. He is so funny. But instead, of course, you have a bloody and terrible war. Now, of course, many people have been telling me I'm wrong about all this. They are wrong, and isn't that fun? But that's what it is. So Joe Biden is at the NATO Lands End Catalog Weapons Conference, pledging that he will continue to sell weapons to everyone under the sun for any reason. He's giving 500-pound bombs to Israel. Now, let me explain to you, because a lot of people have educated me on this, too. All of the footage coming out of Gaza, there, people are saying, is fake. Like, we are being totally manipulated. And when Israel kills a baby, I'm being told this, it's not a real baby. No, well, why are you mad at me? Why would you be mad at me? I'm the messenger. You don't kill the messenger. That's not nice. When you see a baby, go kaboom. It's actually not a real baby. It's fake baby. And you're being propaganda. You might look at this and say massive loss of life. Some would say genocide. But actually, it's not. It's actually just a collection of old movies that you're watching, and it's not true. It's a lot of, like, Independence Day. No, it's just pulls. The first Batman with Michael Keaton. They're just showing you things. But this is the argument. This is what people say. People told me this. They go, actually, that footage is not real. I go, what do you mean? They go, well, the footage, it's actually heavily doctored and manipulated. They're actually showing you videos of other times Israel's killed them. And they're editing it now. So people are just, you know, so Biden is sending 500-pound bombs to Israel now. Can you get up where Biden says he's not sending 2,000-pound bombs to Israel? It's the greatest thing ever. He goes, we're just sending 500-pound bombs. And I'm not trying to fuck up anybody's money out there with my dumb little show. I'm just telling you what exactly is happening when we talk about NATO. We talk about NATO like it's some type of a summer retreat we're all going on. Yeah, we're here at the NATO conference. Good to see my bros. I fucking love you. Poland, what up? It's fucking NATO. It's a weapons manufacturer. It's a ring of weapons manufacturers that all happen to have offices in Virginia and D.C. And I'm not saying people don't need weapons or that we shouldn't have weapons, but, like, let's just be honest about what all of these things are. NATO is not like a high school reunion. They're putting it out there like it's some type of, like, we all rented a big lake house and we're going to have a fucking crazy reunion. It's NATO. NATO's a defense alliance. It's fine. I get it. But when you talk about NATO and you understand why NATO potentially makes the world in certain areas volatile or unstable, it's because NATO is going around the countries going, buy these weapons and point them at him. And then when that guy starts going nuts, they go, what's wrong with him? He's sick. He's sick. He's actually sick. He's a dictator. He's evil. He's going to get it. And you go, but you just sold. What? And we're all supposed to be like, yeah, that's the way it is. That's actually the way it is. We're the good guys. They're the bad guys. It's 2003 all over again. Put them all in Afghanistan. Put them all there. We're going to put them all in Iraq, and then they'll never attack us. But they didn't really attack us. Shut up. We're going to put them all. The Afghanis need them all. Well, actually, we're kind of attacked by the Saudi Arabia. Shut up. You fucking... Okay, let's watch a little bit of this. Joey B.
Doubling down. We'll help you find the bad guys. Sinmore and Company.
Just stop for a second. Do you realize that none of it changes from George W. Bush through every... Like, it's... Some are more eloquent than not, but it's like the same thing.
Get the bad guys. Where are the bad guys? You want to find the bad guys?
Now, Sinwar's a bad guy. We get it. Ismail Sinwar. Or is it Ismail Haniyeh? Ismail Haniyeh runs a political arm of Hamas. Yahya Sinwar is the guy on the ground planning things. Both, full disclosure, both are patrons of my show, patreon.com, Tim Dillon Show. So I don't, and again, it's, you know, our audience is huge and it includes a lot of people. So that's Yahya Sinwar. So I'm not saying he's not a bad guy, but the way that our government talks to us, I mean, it's like, this is like explaining something to my godson is three. We would not treat him this way. We would explain to him things, but keep going. Sorry.
All this criticism about I wouldn't provide when the weapons they needed. I'm not providing 2,000-pound bombs. They cannot be used in Gaza or any populated area without causing great human tragedy and damage. But remember what happened when you had the attack on Israel with rockets and ballistic missiles.
Sounds good.
I was able to unite the Arab nations as well as Europe, and nothing happened. Nothing got hurt. It sent an incredible lesson to what was going on from the Middle East. So there's a lot of things, in retrospect, I wish I had been able to convince the Israelis to do. But the bottom line is we have a chance now. It's time to end this war. Doesn't mean walk away from going after Sinwar and Hamas. And if you notice, you know better than most, there is a growing dissatisfaction on the West Bank from the Palestinians about Hamas. Hamas is not popular.
Yeah, we get it. Hamas is not popular. I know that. Okay. Taylor Swift is popular. I'm aware of what popularity is. I know Hamas is not. They can't sell any tickets. You think you put Hamas up against the Eras Tour? Of course not. We get it. But by the way, he is sending them, get this article up, he's sending them 500-pound bombs. So let's get this up. Now, I'm not smart. I'm not a smart guy. You know me. I'm a dummy dumbs. Now, let me ask a question of everybody, because I just hung out with a bunch of kids from Harvard this weekend. They were a lot smarter than me. Truly. I'll admit that. Some of them. Not all of them. Some of them were. They're probably smarter than me. Functionally smarter than me. Okay. We're not sending 2,000 bombs to Israel. However, we are sending 500-pound bombs. What if, follow the logic, follow this, what if they were to use four of them? See what I mean? See how easily you can get to 2,000-pound bombs from 500? See? Interesting. I'm not a mathematician. I'm not. I was somewhere, and I'm not going to say where, but I was somewhere, and a woman came up to me. She goes, I want to thank you. My mother loves you because you always speak out for Palestine. I said, thank you. And I don't say anything crazy. All I'm saying is that we should, all I have said about this whole thing, truly, is that we should kick the Muslims and the Jews out and give the area back to the Christians. That's been my consistent position, that you take my fat aunt and my fat uncle and put them on a Carnival cruise ship and sail them there, and they can get out. And they can walk around Gaza with Triscuits and potato chips and onion dip and marvel at the sights of the Holy Land. I have said that the Jews and the Muslims have both lost the ability to I'm just sick of it. The Christians are coming back. That's been my position. But no, there was a very nice woman who said that to me. And you know, I did. And by the way, everyone who participated and who was watching my mukbang for Gaza, where I ate a bunch of hummus and I kind of fell asleep on the couch, but still thank you, because it's something that I've done. Mukbang for Gaza. Me and Trish Paytas might nail that down. Mukbang for Gaza. Because I want to do something. And what am I going to do? Well, what am I going to do? I can't protest at an Ivy League school. I don't even attend one. Or as Biden would say, I don't attend. Get up where he is. Can I be in NATO? We're going to get to a point where individuals can be in it. People are going to get so rich, not me, but others will get so rich, they are in NATO. They're going to be like, NATO is Poland, Finland, the UK, the US, and Jamie Dimon, the CEO of Chase. He's in NATO as well. He has a nuke. Very soon, they will have nukes. Like Bezos will have a nuke. Bezos is going to be the next country admitted into NATO, by the way. They're going to be like, we can't keep you safe unless you join NATO. You join NATO now. By the way, I will say this. Get up where Biden's talking. Please get up where he's talking about people getting shot in America. It's the greatest thing in the world. this is the funniest thing ever. Biden starts losing it because, like a man in at his advanced age, Biden, and this is the most interesting thing to watch. And by the way, this does, like, I don't want to have sex with elderly people. That is kind of sick. I forget what they call it. I think it's gerontophilia or something. But there is something, I have an appreciation of the elderly that other people don't have. I've always liked the elderly. The elderly keep theater going because no one goes to see plays or you know what I mean? Yeah, gerontophilia. I don't have that. I don't want to have sex with the elderly. But I'll tell you this. I do like that the elderly keep theater going. Certain restaurants are only good because of the elderly. The elderly does serve a purpose in American life. And I think we need to, like, keep them around. I'm not one of these guys who's, like, just anti-old people. I do believe in the elderly. But what's interesting about the elderly is they have flashes of rage. They get angry. And my grandmother used to have things. She would, her scotch, you'd hear the ice clinking in her scotch. And she'd go, if you keep eating so much, you're not going to be able to fit through the door. That's what she would say. And I mean, the woman was hilarious. She would go, I'd come in with a bag of McDonald's and start taking things out. She'd go, you should get one thing. And I'd go, why? She goes, because you're one person. She was always enraged. You and your mother are disgusting. You just go out to eat and you just sit there and you eat for hours. It's disgusting. She was great. Like, the old are great because they're almost there. They're almost at the finish line, whatever it is. And what is left? Who is left to impress? Who is left? That's why it's so hard to get this fucking guy out, because he goes, so what? So what? My next act is literally death. Leave me. I'm not going anywhere. And they're going to have to send in Pelosi and Obama. They're going to have to send in people to sit him down and go, Joe, and hold his hand and get him there. You got to get him across the finish line. You're going to have to get him there. But let's watch him kind of lose his mind now about, now this was apropos of nothing. I don't really know where this came. It was clearly obvious that he had the questions beforehand in the press conference. Also, the media was asking, you know, they were pointed questions. They weren't like the most aggressive. I don't think anyone asked why there was a Parkinson's doctor in the White House 10 times. But so now watch this answer. It's the craziest thing I've ever heard, but I like the passion. I kind of like it.
I think we have to finish, and how we can't afford to lose what we've done or backslide on civil rights, civil liberties, women's rights. There's that little button we have. Control guns, not girls. I mean, the idea we're sitting around, that's where Kamala's so good as well. We're sitting around. More children are killed by a bullet than any other cause of death. The United States of America. What the hell are we doing? What are we doing? We got a candidate saying, promise the NRA, don't worry, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to do anything. We got a Supreme Court that is what you might call the most conservative court in American history. This is ridiculous. There's so much we can do still. And I'm determined to get it done. It's about freedom. And by the way, I'll end this. Well, I'm not going to do that. Haley has to come up too. But I remember I made a speech on democracy in Philadelphia at Independence Hall. And I'm not being critical, just observing. The bulk of the press said, what the hell is he talking about that for? Democracy. You did. Democracy is not an issue. Democracy is not an issue. Except the polling data showed 60% of the people knew I was right, thought I was right. I'm not asking you a question. You don't have to answer, obviously.
See, this is like, if this was your grandfather or something, it would be tough. The fact that he's the president, the reason that, you know, I don't feel any kind of shock about any of this, is that we all knew this, and it was obvious to most people, and not to repeat, I don't want to keep repeating all the time, but like this, we all know, this is like if a bunch of people decided to rob a bank and then one of them got caught and then all of those people decided that it was actually that person's idea and they were the only person who did it. I mean, this has been a con forever. Everybody got caught and then everybody's decided to throw him under the bus. And I think him and Jill are like, hey, man, you guys knew what was going on. You knew how bad it was. And now you're all turning on us and fuck you. Fuck you. We all robbed that bank. We all ran into the bank together. This guy got caught, and now everybody's turning on him. Ben Affleck's 18-year-old daughter has lost her mind, here's the thing. When you're a child of a celebrity, there's nothing good that can happen. Here's what happens when you're a child of a celebrity, by the way, or any really successful person. It's very, very, very difficult to have any normalcy in your life. So I'm not attacking this woman if she identifies as a woman, and I don't know. I imagine she does. It is very difficult to live any type of normal human life when your father is Ben Affleck. It's not easy. Now, many people would go, yeah, but I don't feel bad for her. They're fucking rich. And I get it. I'm not saying feel bad for her. I'm saying the psychosis that you're witnessing here is because, you know, it's been difficult. Now, let's watch her. By the way, the most well-adjusted celebrity child is like Chet Hayes. He's like, I mean, truly, the Tom Hanks is like white rapper son who speaks in a Jamaican patois is like the best celebrity kid I've ever seen. Most of them, he's like the best. Because here's the thing. You're either a Nepo baby where, like, you're given a job, right? Like, Nepo babies are just, they do the things their parents did. And some of them are good at it. Some of them are actually really good at doing the work their parents used to do because they grew up around it and they've been, you know, everybody's enraged at Nepo babies. Everybody's like, these fucking Nepo babies. Yeah, I get it. It's annoying. It's annoying. Is this a list of Nepo babies?
Yes. Yeah.
Can you read some of their names or can I see some of their names? I just can't.
This is Maya Hawke. That's Ethan Hawke's daughter.
Yeah.
This is Lily Rose Depp, which is Johnny Depp and the model's daughter. Lily, what's her name? Something Kravitz, Zoe Kravitz. And then that the cocaine actor from the 80s. His son is on that show. Colin Dennis something.
Okay. But yeah. And by the way, what am I mad at this? Am I going to be angry? People in my business, the entertainment business, get angry at Nepo babies because they are enraged that these people had an easier path to success, which is true, but somewhat unavoidable. If you grow up and your father or mother is a famous actor or actress and you watch them, and you meet the directors, and you are in that world, there is a chance, not always, but there is a chance, and if you're taking acting classes from a young age, that you're good. Some of these Nepo babies are actually good. So, I don't know what to tell. I saw a play in New York recently, and it was Warren Beatty's granddaughter, I believe. Was it granddaughter or daughter? Granddaughter? Who cares? Granddaughter was in the play, and she was really good. You know what I mean? So what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to walk out and go, well, that was Warren Beatty's granddaughter. Fuck her. You just go, oh, she was really good. It was Annette Bening and Warren Beatty. That was her, right? Yeah. So it's a Warren Beatty and Annette Bening's daughter, Ella Beatty. She was really good in this play in New York. What are you going to do? Yeah, she killed it in the play. Dude, she was great. What am I supposed to, walk out of the play and go, that role should have went to my friend. My friend should have got it. Now listen, some talent gets transferred through genes to the children. Not all talent does, but some of it does. But here's the big problem. When none of it does, they are fucked. Meaning, if none of the talent from mom or dad goes into the baby, it's a problem. Now, I like Chet Hanks, Chet Hayes. He's done very well considering none of Tom Hanks's talent is present in Chet Hayes. None, from what I see. I'm not saying he's not a nice guy. I'm not saying his music doesn't have some, you know, it's not fun to put on. I'm sure it is. But let's be very honest. Tom Hanks' level of talent and Chet Hanks, there's not that. So for that, I think he's handled it very well. He's handled it kind of well, even though he is Jamaican. He's like a white Jamaican. But it's okay because he's like a nice guy. I think he's like a nice guy if you met him. He's concerned about that white boy summer being used by racists. He's like, I came up with white boy. This looks like every guy I grew up with on Long Island. I feel like he's not a bad guy.
He is. I have friends that are friends with him. He's a good guy.
No, this is what I mean. None of Tom Hanks' talent entered that body. Sorry. It just is what it is. It's just what it is. Now, so there's some kids sitting around going, my parents are some of the most talented. I look at my two parents and I go, well, of course I'm the way I am. Like, thank God I can do this. If you looked at my two parents, God love them, but you would not, I was not expecting to get a waterfall of talent and skill from my parent. I just wasn't. My mother was a swim teacher, God love her, and my father sold wine. Nice people, didn't abuse me, didn't put cigarettes out on me, weren't completely present for my childhood, both of them. Kind of more raised by, you know, the streets. But the streets were, you know, families that, you know, I found fun families that, you know, I liked who were also terrible parents. Like I had adopted parents who were also not good. But my point is that how frustrating it must be to be a person whose parents are like, gorgeous and very talented, and to not have it, to go, what happened here? So we have Ben Affleck's daughter. Now, who's the mother? Who did they do? How did they do this?
Jennifer Garner.
Jennifer Garner, who's like hot and very talented. She was on that show Alias that my mother used to watch. It turned my mother into a schizophrenic. It did. The show Alias. My mother used to watch it while eating Wendy's. She became a schizophrenic. Can I call Morgan and Morgan? So Jennifer Garner and Ben Affleck are your parents. You imagine if Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner have a kid, what are we imagining? Model, actor, like you know. And I'm not saying this daughter is bad looking. This girl's not a bad looking girl. But something happened here. Let's take a look at what is going on here. If your parents are Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner, I don't know what you should be doing in life, but it's not this.
Hi, Violet Affleck, Los Angeles resident, first-time voter. I'm 18. I contracted a post-viral condition in 2019. I'm okay now, but I saw firsthand that medicine does not always have answers to the consequences of even minor viruses. The COVID-19 pandemic has thrown that into sharper relief. 1 in 10 infections leads to long COVID, which is a devastating neurological cardiovascular illness that can take away people's ability to work, move, see, and even think, stands to exacerbate our homelessness crisis, as well as the suffering of many people in our city. It hits communities of color, disabled people, elderly people, trans people, women, and anyone in a public-facing essential job the hardest. To confront the long COVID crisis, I demand mask availability, air filtration, and far UVC light in government facilities, including jails and detention centers, and mask mandates in county medical facilities. We must expand the availability of high-quality free tests and treatment, and most importantly, the county must oppose mask bans for any reason. They do not keep us safer. They make vulnerable members of our community less safe and make everyone less able to participate in Los Angeles together. Thank you.
Okay. Well, you know, this is what this is kind of what happens when your parents are very talented people and you're going, what happened? What happened? You know what I mean? That girl should be in London. She should be living in London right now. She should have a fake British accent. She should be trying to be an actress. She should be like living with like a lord. You know what I mean? She should be doing nothing. And I get it. She's trying to save everybody and get everyone to put masks back on. It is funny, though. It is. It really is one. It's like when you're a kid of a celebrity, it's one of two. It's one of two. It's like Nepo baby, you're in the thing, you're in the machine, you're talented, or it's whoa. It's like way the other way, you know? It's way the other way. It's going to be interesting to see what that generation does. And I tend to believe my cultural predictions have always been the 80s are coming back. Getting in shape is coming back. People being more financially responsible is coming back. Religion seems to be coming back for the good and the bad of that. I think the suburbs are coming back. I think Zoomers have watched a bunch of millennials pour into cities and follow their dreams, and all those people are broke because many of those people wanted to work in some creative adjacent field. They wanted to work in the media. They wanted to, you know, pursue something that, quote unquote, made them happy. And I think people are seeing that they all are mired in student loan debt. And they're all in their mid to late 30s, and some of their lives are a mess. Some of them are in their early 40s. And Zoomers are looking at this and going, I don't know. Maybe it's just better to be a roofer and live in the suburbs and get a hot wife and procreate young. And I think that that's the new trend that I see coming back. What my prediction culturally is that the new thing coming is pragmatism. I believe pragmatism is coming back. I've been mediating on this and thinking about it because I think a lot. I should be doing other things, frankly, but I'm thinking about it. And the people that I talk to of all ages are starting to embrace what I call some type of realism, even on issues like the Ukraine and stuff like that. There seems to be more of a desire amongst young people to embrace ideologies that are not inherently contradictory and complex. We're kind of going back to basic doesn't mean bad. Simple can be very good. And we've overcomplicated life. And I think people are starting to realize that. And they're starting to go, I don't need all this crap. I don't need this. The things that convey status no longer do. The idea that having all of this stuff is going to make me happy, or pursuing this dream that I really, if I get honest with myself, don't really want to do. There's a lot of people, they don't know. They moved to Brooklyn to be different, but they don't know what that is. They don't know what work goes into that, and they just spend a lot of time drinking and hanging out and standing around, and one of their friends gets successful and they're like, I'm so happy for you. I love you. I love you. I'm so happy. I love that for you. It's so exciting. Are you going to her book party? And then eventually they just go, I just want to get dick down by a roofer and live in the suburbs and eat out of cans, you know? But I think that's going away to the cans. But I mean, I think people are, there is pragmatism might come back. People might start understanding that, like, you know, we keep trying to reinvent everything. And technology for sure has complicated life. And there's a lot of benefits to it. But as it's complicated life, I think people themselves have seen their own mental health deteriorate, the collective mental health of society deteriorate. They've seen people explaining things to them that don't really make any sense. How many hoops do you have to jump through to talk about the discrimination, you know, that pregnant men face, the society hasn't done enough for pregnant men. You have to really jump through hoops. It's not easy. It's not peanut butter and jelly. Yum, yum, good. It's like, sit down. So you have to start using words that were made up 10 years ago. You have to start inventing classes of people that don't really exist or exist in a very small numbers and then blowing their stories up to be indicative and representative of things that they're not. And so I think people are kind of rejecting. I don't think, by the way, I don't think this is inherently a political thing. I think the right does this too. I think they do it in their own way with their own people. They have their own. Victimhood is so attractive. There's a lot of people right now that it's like, you know, the hangover of like the anti-white male stuff, which is like not really going on that much anymore unless you go look for it. And so the people that are kind of still living in 2020, still talking about woke, it's woke out there. It's like not. It's swinging the other way. Like, just, you got to relax, folks. Like, the idea that nobody, we're freedom of speech. Shut up. Nobody's stopping you from talking. Yes, there was a time people were losing their jobs, their livelihood. We get it. I was a guy on the forefront of telling everybody, we shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do it. You should let people say what they got to say. But now, just hearing people that are just like, they're like on a years-long delay about everything. Years later, they've realized everything.
Well, the colleges are woke.
What? It's crazy. There's such a delay.
It's being called the Golden Bonanza Sweepstakes. Thanks to our friends at Mako, the DP Show, proud to be a part of this, giving listeners a chance to join us in San Francisco for Super Week. That's right, a trip for two, including round trip, coach airfare, 3 nights, hotel stay, ground transportation, and VIP access to see us do our show. If that's not enough, Mako also giving away 5 free paint jobs and 10 Mako and DP Show swag bags as runner-up prizes. It's really simple to enter. You go to danpatrick.com. The best news, you can enter daily for a chance to win. You can also receive a 25% off coupon to use at any Mako shop. Visit any Mako location now for a free estimate and redeem the coupon. Terms and conditions apply. Remember, go to danpatrick.com for official rules. No purchase necessary. Void in Alaska, Hawaii, and where prohibited. Open to contiguous U.S. D.C. residents 18 or over. Ends 11/23/25.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
If you're a smoker or vapor ready to make a change, you really only need one good reason. But with Zyn nicotine pouches, you'll discover many good reasons. Zyn is America's number one nicotine pouch brand. Plus, Zyn offers a robust rewards program. There are lots of options when it comes to nicotine satisfaction, but there's only one Zyn. Check out Zyn.com/find to find Zyn at a store near you. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
But I think pragmatism's coming back. I think young people are going to start understanding, like, yeah, I could move into a city and pay an exorbitant amount for rent and try to be famous, which is dumb. And it has very little currency left. Fame, by the way. It's very little currency left, which is good. It's good, ultimately. I mean, it's been destroyed. It's been destroyed. People have destroyed it. They've made everyone famous. You know, Andy Warhol, everyone will be famous for 15 minutes. We've seen it. We get it. So that has declined. And then money is always retains value in the sense that everybody wants to have money. But people now are so rich that being uber rich seems silly and ridiculous now. It seems kind of pathetic. Like this show, Owning Manhattan, with Ryan Serhant, this real estate agent who was a soap opera actor. All of these shows about real estate should all start like this. Hi, I'm a failed actor. I embrace real estate because I'm good looking and not that intelligent. Real estate's about having social intelligence. and applying pressure to people at the right times. I have a sociopathic, fanatical work ethic, but this is not my first choice. I wanted to do something else, but I'm not. I didn't, so I didn't make it. So now I'm just opening doors and showing people terraces, and that's fine because I could be doing something much worse than this, okay? Like selling drugs or producing child porn, but I'm not. I'm a real estate agent, but that's where what realtors are. It's second and third choice careers of incredibly, it's the damned real estate agents. They're the damned. So there's this show, Owning Manhattan, where this guy, and it's like the 35th show they've done about people buying these apartments and houses. Can we watch this trailer or will they come here and kill us?
No, it's promoting them. We can play a bit of it.
Watch how dumb this all, by the way, I'm not even, number one, I hope all of this ends with like violence against realtors. I really do. Like, I hope this trend of reality television ends where like and they say that like a third of the Jews in Europe are not saying they're Jews, which I'm not for. I don't like that. Everyone say who you are. But by the way, if that was realtor, like if a third of realtors in America were afraid to say they were realtors because people would be violent and deal with them violently, I would think that was great. Look how stupid they have made wealth look in this trailer to the point where it's like, I'm kind of embarrassed for everybody. And I drive a Bentley with the seats that look like candy canes. I'm saying this. I'm a lunatic who believes that with money you should do silly fun shit. I think fashion is silly. There's nothing worse than people who really think they look good. You know what I mean? You're either hot or you're not. Fashion should be fun and silly. So I'm not a guy that like believes you should hide your money or hide your wealth. But even me saying that, look how retarded this dumb show is. Go.
After selling real estate for 12 years, I decided to start my own company. And if you can't sell, you can't be here.
Welcome to New York City. We have the good, bad, ugly, crazy.
Ready, set, start!
The real estate business in New York is cutthroat. I've sold over $300 million in real estate. I want to set a record.
Confidence is my middle name.
I plan on being a top producing agent in New York City.
These new agents are just...
These people should be afraid to go to their apartments at night. People should come at these people from the street. These people should be afraid to appear in public. They should be afraid to, they should be thrown out a window. They should be attacked. Who throws the acid on the faces in London? Is it the Arabs? Is it the Muzzies?
It's the Muzzies. Yeah.
So the Muzzies every now and then will cook up a little bit of acid and toss it in a woman's face because she's getting loud, which I'm not for. But let's think about that. What if we just started throwing acid at these people in the street? These real estate agents that are convincing us that they do anything, by the way, these retarded people. I love how the show starts. It's like, real estate in New York is a blood sport. And if you can't sell, you can't be here. 90% of every real estate office is people doing nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. 90% of any real estate office is people doing nothing. They do nothing. The idea that this is a cool job or like it has to be, what I've always liked about it is retarded people can make money and many of my friends are retarded. And I've told them to be real estate agents because I go, you're retarded. You can make money. You're hot, but you're dumb. I talk to my friends very honestly. I go, you do not have the capacity in your head to do much. This is a good job for you. But I'm watching this show, and the show is so sick. It makes New York look terrible, by the way. It makes money look terrible. It makes these scumbags look even worse than they are. And they should be afraid to leave their homes. It would be great if one of them was in a cafe, and a few people in the cafe started whispering, is that the person from the Owning Manhattan show? And I go, I think so. And then all of a sudden, just acid to the face. Ah! How much more proud would you be to live in this country if several real estate agents on these shows were victims of acid attacks in the street? And then they'd have to be on season 4 with their face, with all the acid burn on their face, and they'd be like, An acid burn couldn't stop me. I've just listed the biggest penthouse in Chelsea, and she's just got her face looks like boils and burns from the acid. I'm not advocating violence. I am saying, thank you for giving me the thumbs up, because I get very close. I'm saying the real estate agents on this show should fear for their lives. You understand what I mean? Because of I love New York. I actually love real estate. I actually love all of the things that they're destroying here. They're destroying it. I actually love real estate. I like it. I appreciate it. I think it's important to a city. Architecture, people caring about old buildings and rehabbing shit and making... And I watch some of this crap because it does work. But I just feel that the people that are on these shows should be afraid to go out in public because there would be a chance that someone might throw them in a van and they would never be heard from again. Let's watch the rest of this trailer.
Different.
I'm like a Brian Serhan and a Kim Kardashian combined.
This is my competition? Okay.
Welcome to the most expensive apartment in the world, $250 million.
It's not nice. Stop it. Stop it right there. It's not good. That's not good. Here's the deal. You would never, this is how silly it's getting. You live in that apartment every day and you're cooked by the sun coming in the summer and then it's gray for a lot of the year. You've got this amazing view of Central Park, fine. But it looks really soulless. All the new construction that's going up looks soulless. They all look like casinos in Macau because they're trying to sell them to people that own casinos in Macau. So there's no character in it. They just put up these boxes, okay? And the price of this apartment, I believe, is $250 million. That's so absurd and disgusting, and it bears no... What it really is, it's a vertical money laundering scheme, okay? And you look at all this stuff, and you go, what is the... Like, you look at the super rich, and you go, I shouldn't even know where you live. I shouldn't even know where you live. You've ruined it. I should barely know your name. I should not be seeing your kitchen. You should live somewhere. I shouldn't know how much it costs. I shouldn't know where it is. You should only pop up, like, rarely. You should come on TV and go... Every death is a tragedy, but the cancer that we're seeing is not linked to our product. And we think that anybody making those claims will be dealt with legally. And then you go away again. We should never, this accessibility we have to the super rich, the idea that they're letting these low rent failed actors who have accomplished nothing showcase all these things. It has demystified it and it's made it kind of pathetic. And you're looking at it and you're going, this kind of sucks. It's actually not great. Why would anyone pay $250 million for that? And we'll watch the rest of this, but there's one more thing I want to comment on, but watch the rest.
You're going to get $10 million. So it's time to step up and sell.
Get into the view.
Wow.
You're at the 1 yard line.
I know.
11-8.
All cash?
Do we have a deal?
Yes.
I made that building sexy as sexy.
Are agents happy here?
Everyone in this industry is stressed.
I do feel like I need to prove to you something.
You do.
You don't have to like me. You will respect me.
I know there's nothing wrong with this product. If it's not us, it must be you.
They're sharks, and when they smell blood, they're gonna come.
Stop your sh**!
Like, am I in real estate or am I in a freaking sorority is how I feel sometimes. I want to conquer all of New York. I know I can make it here.
This makes you want to live in Missouri. No, really. No, absolutely. It actually makes you want to live in Missouri because this is like heinous. This is disgusting. The way that these people think of themselves and their mission, I want to set a record. It's meaningless. Your lives are meaningless. It's a meaningless thing. It's an absolutely meaningless. Selling a condo is meaningless. It is meaning you are a transactional nothing. You're not a part of anything. You didn't design a bit. You're nothing. There's no humility. There's no self-awareness. It actually is a bad look for the city, and it is a terrible look for that industry, which I think probably will eventually radically transform and go away because technology has gotten so good now that eventually I think the job of what a realtor actually does will be called in. But there's just something so grotesque about this. The way they're selling it, like, it's new. You make it here, you make it anywhere. I'm a real estate agent. I'm in New York to follow my dream of opening doors for Chinese billionaires. That's all they do. All they do all day, they open a door, and then the person who's previewing it for the Chinese family just walks around, and then they get on the phone, and they go like this. And then they walk out. And these people act like their lives have any value or meaning. They don't. So they should be afraid to be in public. The people that have been on these shows should be afraid to be in public. They should be afraid for their safety and their health and their families. Because every now and then what's fun in Russia is a few of them get thrown out the window. That's fun. Every now and then one of them will just, and get like impaled on a, that's fun. I'm sorry. For all Russia's problems, that is fun. But none of that happens here. No realtor here gets thrown out of off a building. But it's just the worst. And I love New York City. And it's sad when I see, like, this is who's living here. This is what we got. These people are what we're doing now. These people are New York. That is such a terrible advertisement. It is the opposite of cool. It is the opposite of everything New York represented for a very long time. These are corporate fucking slime. These are the type. And by the way, New York's always been about money and Wall Street and crazy, but about crazy, eccentric nut jobs and people that worked, you know, throughout. But this basic bitch, kind of like delusional narcissist that is running around, that's pretending to get excited about bathroom tile, is such a terrible advertisement for New York City. And actually, all of these shows are a terrible advertisement for wealth. They're a terrible advertisement for money for money's sake. Power! Not just money, power! Money for money's sake is stupid. It really is. You're missing it. You're supposed to want power, not just money. But all the people who've gutted our country, don't care about anything, have literally turned this country into just some type of bank. It's just Deutsche Bank or the Bank of Credit and Commerce International, BCCI, from years ago, that CIA slush fund. That's what it's, the whole country now is a slush fund. It's a Cayman Islands. No one cares what happens to it. No one cares where it goes. No one has any civic virtue. Everybody's just trying to cash out, grab whatever is left and go. All of these people. And you see how silly it all is, how stupid it all is, how meaningless it all is. I own a building. I own the most expensive penthouse. So what? So what?
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
You have nothing else. You have no influence. You have no power. All you have the power to do is suck more money out of this bloated corpse of an empire. But it's not interesting. Where's the next generation of people that's going to lead the country? Shouldn't the elites be doing that? Shouldn't some of what they're doing involve, like, hey, guys, let some of you are going to step up and lead? Who's doing that? No one's doing that. They don't care. We have nobody. We've got a corpse. Where's the young people trying to get involved in politics? Nobody wants it. They ought to be billionaires. Every young person just wants to be a billionaire or a rapper. Why are we not focusing on every young person goes, I can go into politics or I could just make billions of dollars in tech. Why would I? Well, I don't give a fuck what happens to the country. I just want to put a hoodie on and I want Peter Thiel to give me a bunch of money and I want to come up with some app and then I want to go build a fucking weird architectural fucking strange looking lair somewhere in Northern California and stare at fog. Why do none of them have any designs on saving the country? None of them do. None of them. And maybe that'll change. And the ones that do seem like they're a little Hitlerian. Anyone that seems interested in anything except money likes Hitler. I just think that it's a strange dynamic we have now where it's like the president's clearly too old to run and then everybody's like, but who else? We don't have anyone else. What do all these schools do? What do you say, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Stanford? What are they all doing? What do these kids want to grow up and be? Real estate agents? What's going on? Shows like this show how empty and hollow this whole entire experiment has become, how transactional this entire thing is. It's not just these dumb fucking shows. It's everything. People want to suck money out of the bloated corpse, and that's it. They don't want to do anything else. There's no long-term plan. There's no playing the long game. Where are these new dynasties? Are there any new dynasties, by the way? Is there any new political dynasty? Are there any new people getting involved that have talent, that are good, that aren't total psychopaths? Where are they? Where are they? They want to be on a reality show. They want to sell real estate on a reality show. I met a kid recently who was like majoring in real estate. I go, that's a major at a college? TimDillonComedy.com. We have two shows. We're in West Hampton. West Hampton is the poor Hampton, but there are some people that live there that are whatever. Salt Lake City, Utah, I'm there next week. We're just having some fun now. And then West Hampton Beach, very light schedule this summer. Just Plains, Illinois, November 2nd, a few days before the election. But West Hampton Beach, we have one show. If that sells out, which it will, we're going to add another. But right now, maybe I'll just do one. I don't know. August 29th is kind of a lazy. I want to start doing 19 shows here. But we've got tickets left. People are coming. You can grab that. May add one, may not. I may just go back to my home. I'm at the age now where I just kind of want to go home a lot, you know? 39 years old, I just don't care about anything. You know, you just start to get to an age where, you know, I like going out and listening to people too. That's fun. I like hearing perspectives and going, all right, well, we got that. We got that one. We got that one. Yep. Like my aunt's like, we got NATO. NATO. With the corn. NATO. I'm in NATO. Can I be in NATO? NATO. Imagine that there's people right now in this country, when they walk out of their house, all they see is like zombies like coming at them and they have to shut their door. People talking about NATO, like it is affecting. God, I hope Finland is safe. It's fucking retarded. Everybody's a fucking idiot. What do you want me to do? To the woman at Round Swamp Farm in Bridgehampton who said it was irresponsible that I was carrying the amount of food I was without a basket, why don't you just get me a fucking basket?
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.